Dear ones, there's a lot of scuttlebutt about the 3 days of darkness, the rapture, the inner vision, etc., etc. And the Lord is addressing this, as well as an immense amount of fatigue we've been all feeling. And thank you, Lord, for that, for addressing it and beginning to wonder, am I getting old? My people, Jesus began, you were so very caught up on getting off the earth and on the punishment of the unjust. I know that you ache and weep for these devastating abortions that turn men into sanctioned killers of the innocent. I know you pray for them and weep for the ignorance of the mothers, and I deeply appreciate that, as well as the times you come and lay my head over your heart to comfort me. There are no words to express how profoundly that affects me. All of this is good, dear ones, so very good, enlarging your hearts, making you aware and compassionate of the plight of others. And this is part of your transformation into becoming like me. But our work is not over yet, and most of you have your assignments, whether it's raising holy children, working at a job in the world, or leaving the world to serve me when I call you. And we're still in work mode. Much of what you are doing now will be gifts to those under severe trial with no one to turn to. We aren't transitioning yet. I have told you before, there are those who pretend to be shepherds but are wolves in sheep's clothing, and they begin misinformation campaigns to destabilize you and put your attention on the safety of your immediate circle of friends and relatives. This is why I told Claire to tell you there is time in the message on the fire from heaven. I didn't want her to separate you from what you and I are doing together for others. It is what you have done for others when you were on earth that will determine much for you in heaven. There have been massive attacks and assignments of laziness on my body, fatigue and laziness. Not only do you feel drained under this, you tend to take your ease and back off from prayers and serving. Then the enemy disables you with condemnation for giving into your flesh, and you are even more reluctant to come back to me. This has happened with many heart dwellers, including the staff, and especially Claire. She has a physical condition that is very debilitating at times, and walks on the edge of despair, knowing she has so much more to do. Yeah, when it really gets me down, that's about right. I walk on the edge of despair because I just feel like I can't do it. But then Jesus rises up in me and I do it, returning to the Lord here. So I come and rescue her. I hold her tenderly in my arms and I tell her, my dear one, I understand how you are feeling. I forgive you for the lapses. Let us go on now. The sooner you come to me, heart dwellers, the sooner I can forgive and repair the damage. And I will tell you something you should keep in mind always. Satan doesn't want you to feel forgiven. He wants you under a constant barrage of guilt. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. I indulged in this. I indulged in that. And so on and so forth. He has anemic little demons that chatter this constantly to your mind. He doesn't want you forgiven, so he will keep it up until you decide, I just can't do this anymore. I'm not good enough. And then the Lord said, Claire, please share what happened with you. Well, dear family, I confess I have been lazy. My mind has been like overcooked spaghetti and my motivation, zilch. I can't tell you how many times the Lord has played that song, Empty Fears, for me in worship time. He played it for me again today, twice, and that was with my music set on shuffle. I don't know how he did that. Lord, I have no courage. I'm growing weak. My heart is faint. Secret fears invade my soul. They say it's just too late. Your life is over. It's passed you by. Summer's leaves fall beneath the autumn sky. I've lost my tune. I've lost my hope. I've turned my heart. It was funny because I realized that I wanted to hear that song a second time and that I wasn't supposed to be listening to my voice. I was supposed to be listening to the lyrics. Hello. And I thought, you know, I wish that song would play again. And I could have reached over and sent it backwards so it would play again. But lo and behold, the Lord heard my tiny little plea and he put it on again for me. So this time I didn't miss the meaning. And Jesus knows that really ministers to me. He knows that song helps me. And it helped me out of a pit today, a pit I've been in for a couple of weeks. Part of it was physical pain from constant storms hitting Taos. And fibro doesn't like storms. Part of it was knowing the Lord needed suffering and just feeling very, very tired. And much of it was frustration that I didn't have the joy to do for him what I wanted to. Then the enemy lied to me and I ate it up, insinuating that the binding prayers weren't working and discouraging me from embracing the teaching on the swords that Jesus gave to Carol. Oh, I've been walking mess with no hope but Jesus. And how did he handle me? with unbelievable compassion. First of all, I offered myself to take the worst off of Ezekiel when he goes into travail. So I knew part of it was the heaviness of that, and it was relieving him because I'd seen it over several days. And for that, I was so very grateful because he has had the inspiration to write, especially to our priests, in council and pray for them. And his pain levels were just low enough that he could do this. And every time I would sit down to pray, a mist and clouds and distractions would fill my mind. I'd fall asleep or I'd get up and get into something unrelated to prayer, and then I'd be off for the day and there was no returning to prayer. But Jesus sought me out. When I was in the kitchen, he played a very sweet song, and I had a vision of us dancing together. So I immediately left the kitchen and came to my altar to be with him, dancing and dancing and dancing. And the sweetest part of dancing with Jesus is the tenderness I feel on his shoulder. I'm just under his beard and beside his cheek, and I'm aware of him breathing. Wow, the breath of God, how sweet it is. I can feel his love, his concern, and his focused gaze on me, not in a disapproving way at all. At times he'll pull away and look into my eyes, smiling, always smiling, letting me know that he approves of me. He understands me and does not fault me for my weaknesses. Rather, he runs to lift me up into his arms and make me feel secure in his love. Oh, dear ones, do you realize what manner of God he is? The mighty, all-powerful one, yet full of tenderness for the falls and weaknesses of his bride. All he's concerned about is penetrating that ugly, cold, gray cloud that has obscured my vision of him and of hope. And my response? I melt. I melt. And I say to myself, oh, that's right. You love me unconditionally. That's who you are. You are here to set me back up on my feet, put a little joy in my steps, and restore my limited knowledge of what a wonderful God I serve and what a wonderful lover and husband you are. And just in case someone gets the notion that there is something impure between the bride and Jesus, please be informed that Jesus is a virgin and never is there any sexual connotation to times with him. He is pure. And the drives that cause us on earth to be attracted to each other, the opposite sex, are not present when he's with his bride. And if you ever do feel something like that, it's demonic. Lord, did you want me to say more? Claire, you could go on and on and fill books with stories of my very personal love for you and each of my brides. But I want to remind those who might have jealous feelings, they are totally unfounded. You see, Father took you from within his substance, and it left a place that only you could fit. No other soul on earth could satisfy the spot in his being that you came from. And when I seek out my bride, that very special soul from within the Father, only she can satisfy our heart. What I want you to know, dear ones, is that I am your counterpart, and only you can fulfill me and fill the void in my Father's heart. That means, in the deepest sense of the word, this is a monogamous relationship. There is only one for me, for this Jesus. There is only one for you, your Jesus, and so on, because the Godhead is being made complete by the return of a soul to that intimate place in his heart. Yes, the heart of the Father, through the love of the Son. Drink deeply from this well, my beautiful ones, and know that there can be no other to fulfill the place you were taken from. And when I seek you out, it is because you are the only one who can fulfill me. I bless you, my lovely brides. Have no fear to come near me. I wait for you. No matter how you're feeling or what you believe, have no fear to come near me. I wait for you.